Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. Joshua chapter 24, and we'll finish up our study of the book of Joshua tonight, and going to have Adam do prayer meeting next week, and then we'll start a New Testament book the following week. But we're going to finish up this study that we've been at for several months. And I mentioned last week that chapter 23 and chapter 24 describe similar events. You remember last week that Joshua had called the leaders of the tribes and the judges and the officers that carried out the law and the elders together to Shiloh, where the tabernacle was, where the Ark of the Covenant was. And he thought he was dying. In fact, he said in Joshua chapter 23, verse 14, "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth." In other words, I'm dying. So this will probably be the last time I get to stand before you. And he rehearsed the good things that God had done for the people. And he did that in hopes of encouraging them to stay true to God. You know, that after he died, don't turn away from God. Don't forget the covenant that you've made with God. In chapter 24, he gets another opportunity to do that. Now, I sort of think that it all revolved around what's talked about in verse 32 of chapter 24. So it's just turn back there if it's not on the same page. And we'll start in verse 32 tonight, where the Bible says, "And the bones of Joseph, with which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph." Joseph had died about 200 years earlier, and you remember before he died, while they were captive, the Israelites were captive in Egypt, he prophesied. He said, "Now look, God's going to bring you out of this place. And he's going to take you to that land that he promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's going to take you to that land that he's promised you. When you go, I want you to promise me that you'll take my bones and bury them in that land." And so when the Israelites came out of Egypt, they took the coffin or whatever the bones of Joseph were in. And now that they were at peace, now that they had the Lord had conquered the land for them, they took the occasion to bury the bones of Joseph. And I think that's why in verse 1 it says, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem." He had called the people to come together and say, "We're going to keep our promise to this man called Joseph. We're going to bury his bones." And when all the people came together, Joshua said, "Hey, I'm not dead yet. I got another opportunity to drive the nail in a little bit deeper, to remind the people that they need to stay true to God." Now, and again, just a truth that sort of jumped out at me. You know, sometimes when we think our service to God is over because we're old, okay? And I'm sure Joshua thought that in chapter 23. He said, "I'm about to die. I've done everything that God wants me to do. Now God has let him live a little bit longer." I think it was in the last year of his life. By the way, he lived to be 110, same age that Joseph was when he died, 110. If you're a numbers person, you know, that you find interesting. But God has allowed me to live a little bit longer, and he's given me another opportunity to address the same people that he did in chapter 23. Because again, gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. So it was the same group of people. And Joshua said, "Well, I'm not dead yet, so I'm going to take one more hammer at the people to remind them they need to stay true to God." And so here's the truth. The great philosopher, Yogi Berra, said, "It ain't over till it's over." Now, those of you that don't know Yogi Berra, he was a catcher for the New York Yankees that had the talent of stating the obvious. And he says, "It ain't over till it's over." So here's the biblical truth. Until you're dead, keep serving the Lord. Until you're dead, he's probably got something else he wants you to do. So it doesn't matter how old you get. It doesn't matter how infirm you get. If you're still breathing his air, there's a church down on Hill Road that I pass every time when I go home, and they've had the same sign on it for about 6 weeks. And it asks a question. It says, how much do you think air would cost if somebody else made it? Think about that for a minute. How much do you think air would cost if somebody else made it other than God? So as long as you're still breathing his air, it doesn't matter how old we are, it doesn't matter how infirm we are, it doesn't matter if we think we're done or not. If we're still breathing his air and have any bit of life, he's probably still have something that he wants us to do. And so we need to be busy doing it. Now again, they were gathered at Shechem. This was where they were going to bury Joseph's bones. This is also the place that when Abraham first came to the land of Canaan, where he met God and made a covenant with God. It was close to spots where when the nation of Israel came into the land, they made a covenant with God. And so God brought them back to this place where their forefather had made a covenant, where they themselves had made a covenant, again, for them to make a covenant with the Lord that they would stay true to him. Now, again, the Bible doesn't say, but I think Joshua made a big deal out of it. Shiloh was only about 10 miles away where the tabernacle was. I think they brought the Ark of the Covenant to Shechem on this occasion. And I'll tell you why in just a second. I think they had a service where they worship God. And Joshua preached. He preached. We find his sermon in verse 2. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Joshua was just the messenger. The message was from God. The message was from God. And listen, when we come into this place, regardless of who's preaching, regardless of who's teaching, that's what we ought to listen for. That's what our soul ought to desire. Not to hear from a man, but to hear from God. And we that speak ought to make sure that we're not standing up here, Brother Leonard, myself, Adam, who's ever speaking, that we're not telling you what we think. We ought to have spent time with God and be giving you a message from him. And by the way, if we're not, I think the Holy Spirit will work around us and through us and give you the message that God wants you to have in spite of us. So Joshua was speaking, but he says, here's what the Lord God of Israel wants to remind you of. And in the first few verses of this chapter, really down through verse 13, he reminds them of all the good things that he has done for his people. He took Abraham, and again, I won't take the time because of the time, but just mention some of these things. He said, I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan. Now, Abraham came after the flood, but the place that he came from worshiped gods that the people before Noah worshiped. And Abraham grew up in a land of false gods. And God says, I took him out of that. I took him out of that idolatry. And by the way, God will do the same thing for each of us. He will take us out of that lost condition that we are in, if we will let him. Okay, same way that Abraham did, by faith. If we will let him, he'll take us out of that. And I led him through all the land of Canaan, multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And he talks about, I gave Isaac Esau, but I also gave him Jacob. And I sent Esau to dwell someplace else so Jacob could have all the land. And then I sent him into Egypt, and they stayed there for 430 years. And he said, remember, I sent Moses and Aaron, and they brought your fathers out of Egypt. And they came to the Red Sea, and Joshua reminded them how God miraculously led him across the Red Sea and the darkness that he sent between the Egyptians and the Israelites, protection for the Israelites, an obstacle for the Egyptians. I took care of you while you were in the wilderness, in verse 7 for a long season. And I brought you into the land east of the Jordan River, the Amorites on the other side of Jordan. And I gave you land there. And he mentions Balak and Balaam. Balak, the king of Moab, and Balaam, the prophet that Balak tried to hire to curse Israel. And God said, I wouldn't let Balaam curse you. In fact, he ended up blessing you. Again, a reminder that God holds the ungodly in his hand. I mean, he holds them in his hand. They are not going to accomplish their purpose. They may seem like they are, but God is still in charge. Verse 11, and then you went over Jordan and came into Jericho, and you fought against the people here, and I delivered them into your hands. And in verse 12, and here he mentioned this verse to me last week, talking about the hornets that God sent to drive out the enemy. And there was more harm done, more accomplished through the hornets than there was through the armies of Israel. And he says in verse 13, I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye did not, which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and oliveyards which ye planted not, do ye eat. And so Joshua, as he had all these people gathered again together, he says, remember everything that God has done. And then he says in verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him. Remember who God is. Not fear him from the sense of being afraid, but hold him in awe. And realize that you serve a God that is like no other God. You know, one of the things that we even as Christians have done today that is wrong, we've lost our awe for God. We brought him down to our level, and we've tried, to make him more like us, and we've forgotten what kind of God we serve. I mean, he is the creator of everything, and he holds the whole thing together. And I was reading a sermon yesterday about the holiness of God. We've forgotten how holy God is. And Joshua says, fear the Lord your God. Remember what kind of God he is and serve him in sincerity and in truth. If we could remember what kind of God we serve, the serving would be a whole lot easier. If we could remember what kind of God we serve. And then he says, put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. Now just think about this. Hundreds of years before, there were people, and again, remember, there were only eight people on the flood. There were only eight people that made it through the flood. Noah, Mrs. Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their wives. And yet, somehow, there were people that lived in this day that were still serving the gods that were served before the flood. And Joshua said, put them away. Put them away. And the gods that were in Egypt, you came out of Egypt. You saw how powerless their gods were in Egypt. Some of you are serving those gods. Put those away. And serve ye the Lord. Don't serve these gods that weren't able to protect their people. Don't serve these gods that were able to do nothing for their people. Remember everything that God has done for you. Fear him and serve him and get rid of these other things. And then he goes on in verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. If it seem evil. If it doesn't seem reasonable to serve the Lord. And again, Joshua had just spent some time rehearsing for them everything that God had done. He said, now if it seem evil, if I'm making an unreasonable request, if I'm asking you to do something that you don't think is the right, reasonable thing to do, then choose you this day whom you will serve. You see, God's left it up to you. And by the way, the choice of the gods we serve is a choice that each person has to make. And it's a choice that God leaves to each person. He doesn't force himself on us. He leaves that choice up to us. And so Joshua says, go ahead, serve the gods. Where are you going to serve? The ones that were on the other side of the flood, the ones that they worshiped before the days of Noah, or the gods of the Amorites in whom land ye dwell, the gods that couldn't help these people whose land we've conquered. He didn't mention there, but he mentioned it in the verse before. Or the gods of Egypt, who our God destroyed as he brought us out of Egypt. So you got choices. You can serve the God that's done all these things for you. You can serve all these other gods that haven't done anything for you. But Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He said, I want you to know where I am. I want you to know what I'm going to do. Me, I'm going to serve the Lord. And my house, my family, and my servants, we're going to serve the Lord. It doesn't matter if you all decide to serve somebody else. It doesn't matter to us. We're going to serve the Lord. And that ought to be our position. That ought to be our vow tonight to God. Lord, we're going to serve you. I mean, hey, look, the Israelites had a lot of things that they could look back on and say, boy, God sure has been good to us. I maintain tonight, so do we. So does every person here. Every person here can look back and say, God's been awful good to me. He's been awful good to me. He saved me. He bought me. He redeemed me, as we sung about tonight. And if, by the way, if that's the only thing that God has done for you, that would be enough to serve him with all that we are for as long as he lets us live. But I dare say tonight that not one person here could say that's the only thing he's done for me. Every person here could write down a list as long, if not longer, than the one that Joshua put together in the first part of this chapter. So Joshua says, don't care what you're going to do. And by the way, we shouldn't care what other people do too. That shouldn't matter. I mean, we're encouraged as we come together and worship and fellowship with other people that have made that same decision. And I'm not trying to diminish that in any way. But if everybody else decides to serve somebody else, we ought to say, doesn't matter. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Notice what the people said. And the people answered in verse 16 and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. They said, Joshua, how can you even think that we might do that? God forbid. Now, we're not going to do that. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites that dwell in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. So Joshua, you don't have to worry. We're in the same place that you are. We realize everything's God has done for us. How could you even think we'd serve somebody else? We're going to serve the Lord our God, for he is our God. Now, in order to drive the nail in a little bit deeper, because Joshua, again, we talked about it last week, he could see the danger that was facing the people. The danger that was facing the people as they lived among these the Canaanites that still worshipped other gods. And Joshua knew they were going to be tempted to turn away from Jehovah God and worship these other gods. So to drive the nail in a little bit deeper, he says in verse 19, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God, he is a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that he hath done you good. So Joshua was again trying to say, now listen, there's going to be people that come and they're going to say, well, God's too hard a master. He's a holy God. You're not a holy people. You're going to mess up. And when you mess up, he's going to be there to punish you. Just as good, as much good as he's done to you, when you mess up, he's going to punish you with that much bad. By the way, there's still people that are saying that today. Oh, no, you can't serve God. He's too hard a taskmaster. You don't want to serve him because you turn away from him and he will punish you. And there are many people that don't serve God because there's been an influence like that in their life. And Joshua just, again, he is playing the devil's advocate. He said, now be careful what you're swearing to. Be careful what you're agreeing to, because God is a holy God. And again, he wasn't trying to discourage them. He was trying to get them to be more strong in their resolve to lay aside the false gods, turn away from the false gods, and serve God. And the people said unto Joshua, nay. Listen, we're with you. We're going to serve the Lord. And Joshua said, okay, you're witnesses. You are witnesses against yourself. You have heard what you have said. Verse 23, now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. This is why I think the Ark of the Covenant was there. I don't believe the tabernacle was there, but I believe the Ark of the Covenant was there. And because it was there, the sanctuary of the Lord was there. We don't have something like the Ark of the Covenant today. I mean, when you came into the presence of the Ark of the Covenant, you knew you were in the presence of God. What we have today is the promise in the Bible where it says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I'll be in the midst. And so, this, by the way, this oak, I believe, was the same oak where Jacob, when he was coming back from being with his father-in-law and was coming back to his father Isaac, before they got, he said, now take off all the jewelry that you wear that we got over there in this foreign land, all the things that people use to worship their gods, because we're going to bury it underneath this oak. I think it was the same oak. And I think that stone that there was that was under that oak tree was going to be a witness. In fact, Joshua says it in verse 27, and Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us. And I don't know, maybe he carved something in the stone. For it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall therefore be a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So he let all the people go home. The second time that he got an opportunity to tell them they need to serve the Lord. And then he died, 110 years old. And it says there in verse 30, they buried him in the border of his inheritance in the Mount Ephraim. Remember, he was of the tribe of Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And then in verse 31, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. So you read that verse and say, well, that's a good thing. They served the Lord all the days of the elders, those guys that were there that made this promise. They served the Lord all the days of Israel. Sad part is, what happened after that? And the sad part is, we know the answer. We look at the book of Judges, and we see the people turning away from God and worshiping false gods. We see the punishment of God coming. We see a judge coming to turn them back to God. And then they stay true to God for a while, and that cycle is repeated over and over and over in the book of Judges. And how much better the history of Israel would have been if they would have just kept this covenant. If the fathers could have passed it to their children, if their children could have passed it to their children, and the nation of Israel down through the ages could have stayed true to their God, to the God that blessed them in so many ways. In the same year, they buried, verse 33, Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died. I believe that Moses and Aaron died in the same year, and Joshua and Eleazar died in the same year. And so, again, it ought to serve as a reminder to us. We serve the same God. We have the same God that they did. He has not changed one iota since speaking to the people there. And he wants the same covenant from us. That we won't worship the other gods. And you say, well, preacher, we don't worship other gods today. Oh, sure we do. Anything we put in God's place, anything we love more than him, anything that is a distraction, becomes a god in some form or another. And if we could just put those all away and love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, how much better we would be as a people, as a nation. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. Good to have you tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.